Good morning, everybody. So great to have you this morning. Thanks for taking the time to join us. Appreciate you taking some time in the morning to stay connected with our leadership and what's happening with the city. So Sarah Marie, would you mind to start us off in prayer?
Why not? God, we pray to you this morning as the God who is in and through all things and holds all things together. We worship you for your sovereignty. We worship you for your power, for your grace, and for your mercy. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ela, I think I'll start with you, if you don't mind, just to make sure you're in position to jump in New Life Kits as soon as possible.
Sure, yeah. Just go for it?
Yes. Everything you've got. Give us all the right. Whole package. Yeah.
All right. Hi, I haven't met all of you. I'm Ayla, and I'm the new Life Kids and Youth Director. And I just have some announcements and updates and a volunteer ask for you guys. So announcements first, New Life Kids is launched. If you didn't catch that back in December, we opened up a childcare room for ages 0 through 2. So I've also heard it said under age 3. So those kids now have a spot to go on Sunday mornings. And we took a little break over the holidays, but we reopened last Sunday. And despite what's, going on in our world, we just still see a huge response of volunteer interest and families showing up and, wanting to put their kids in. So I just love that. It's been super encouraging for me in my new role. So that's the update there. And we are active, as I said, actively recruiting more volunteers. We still have a need for some teachers. So parents and people from the city side for the 3 to 5 year old classroom. And we also need a few more helpers, preferably college students, but also people from the city side who maybe don't want to be a teacher in the 1st through 5th grade classroom. And then I also need some help and then New Life Kids info desk, which is like helping parents check in and monitoring the intercom and, helping to be an extra adult in bathroom, restroom situations. So I would like to ask all of you if you could extend that ask to your home groups, because we would love to see people on our volunteer team who come from the city side, because the campus folk, as you know, a lot of them will leave in May and we won't have them over the summer. And it's just more reliable if we have a steady foundation of volunteers built from our city side. And then we can add campus people on top of that and integrate them into that. But it just makes it easier again over that summer period and over spring break and things like that. So if you could, again, extend that ask out and just tell them specifically, teachers for the 3 to 5 year old classrooms, helpers for the 1st through 5th grade classrooms, and New Life Kids desk, if they have any interest, they can fill out a connection card on Sundays, and that puts them in touch with me, or they can email me directly, and that's Ayla, A-Y-L-A, at newlifea2.org.
Question in the chat. There's
no, I don't have chat open.
What's the difference between a helper and a teacher?
Oh, good question. So we try and have teachers are people who will actually kind of facilitate the lesson. So when you arrive on a Sunday morning, you'll pick up a packet that has like, here's the story time that we're going to read in the 3 to 5 year olds room, or here is the video with the small group discussion questions that we're going to have for the 1st through 5th graders. Whereas helpers tend to be just that. So if we have a lot of kids in the 1st through 5th grade classroom, we're going to split into kind of smaller pods for the small group section. And so like a helper might facilitate a discussion question for a smaller pod, or they might just like hang out with the kids before and after the lesson and get to know them and talk to them. And then in the 3 to 5 year old room, a helper might, you know, just play with the kids and help get craft supplies out and things like that. So it's just kind of someone who's a facilitator versus someone who's helping the classroom run a little better. And also we have a policy that we always have a minimum of 2 adults in any classroom. And this is just a great way. We tend to have more city folk in the teacher roles, and then we try and fill in the helper roles with people who are maybe campus or just trying to get their feet wet and trying out the ministry. And this is like a great opportunity for them to integrate too. You know, it's, if we're always pairing a new helper with a teacher who's been around a while, then we're building a lot of community. So that's happening too. So I do have some other announcements. I'm, as I said, super encouraged. We've seen a huge volunteer response. We've had 42 people sign up so far to be volunteers, which to, yeah, everybody just keeps saying is incredible in this, you know, what's going on in our community. So, just super, grateful and thankful for that. And, so that's like just enough where I'm still recruiting, but moving ahead with plans to reopen in February, the other two classrooms that I talked about. So probably mid-February, either the 13th or the 20th, somewhere around there, we're going to open up a classroom for age 3 through kindergarten. And then the large basement room, we're going to open up and do a video lesson and small groups for first through fifth graders. And so more information to come on that, but wanted to give a sneak peek at what's coming in February.
Yeah, and I'm super excited about that. The content for the two that we're expanding into as well. They're going to be getting in scripture every week. When we think about worship community mission, there's going to be worship. They'll be in community, obviously. And as far as getting to hear the gospel every week, that's something that'll be included as well in the format. And so we're also, with the older kids, able to utilize very similar to, is it, I always get it wrong, kid, is it Connect HQ?
All right. It's what we post on our New Life Kids Facebook page as well for families worshiping from home.
Yeah. So, and the cool thing with that is we in the pandemic, through Connect HQ on the home front with parents involved with their kids, we actually saw multiple kids come to Christ through the pandemic and that ministry. So to be able to use the same content that way, if you're at home or you can't make it 1 week or someone has to quarantine for a time and misses a Sunday, when you do come back, there's some kind of continuity. It'll be slightly different because the one in person gets to be a little more robust with community and conversations and some activities, but super excited about that and making sure that the gospel gets shared every single week with the kids. So,
awesome. Thanks, Ayla. Appreciate it. Any other questions you guys have for Ayla on this topic? I know that was a lot of ground to cover.
How do they, if someone wants to serve, what do they do? And so that our people in this place know that. So if we have people in our home groups or D groups ask, where do we point them to?
Yeah. So the easiest ways would be to point them to fill out their connection card on a Sunday and mark interest in volunteering with New Life Kids, and that'll connect them with me. Another option, if you think that they might forget by Sunday, but they really are interested, you can direct them in that moment to the New Life Kids website, and they can fill out like the interest form on that page, and that will eventually get to me as well. Those are, I think, the easiest routes.
Was that online on the survey page? Is that what you said?
Yeah, connection card or going to the New Life Kids page on our church website. At the bottom, there's like an interest form that they can fill out and submit.
Yeah, and it's in the chat. Those links are in the chat. Well, that link and then Ayla's email address too, which is always a good safe bet if you need to get anything related to New Life Kids.
It's true. Just email me.
Or youth too, for that matter. So
Yeah.
Any other questions out there? We know this is an important topic for our community as we're moving back into the New Life Kids operational space.
I don't have a question. I have an encouragement to all of you live right now or listening, catching this for your group. Do not assume people know this. Don't assume people know that New Life Kids is back open. Don't assume that they hear an announcement on a Sunday or read an email. You need to act like no one has heard this and tell people this is what's happening. Because we know for a lot of families, this has been one of the things they're waiting for when we talk to them to say, what would encourage you to come back? And they're like, man, we were really kind of waiting for the kids ministry to reopen. So tell everyone you know.
That's so good, Jay. Okay, Chelsea, can we move on to you? And if anybody has any questions for any of our previous presenters, so to speak, just post it in the chat. We can, as long as we still have them with us, we can bring them back. That said, Ayla, we can cover questions on your behalf, or if we can't answer them, we'll come find you later.
Okay, I'll stay on for the next 15 minutes, but then I'm going to jump and get New Life Kids ready.
Thanks so much. Thanks for coming this morning. Appreciate it.
All right, just to reiterate, Ayla is amazing, and just appreciate all of her hard work. I know it's not only a service to my family, like as an example today, Kristen Salazar is going to be the teacher, and we're going to drop Avery off, and we're going to be able to go upstairs and go to service. So I'm just super excited, and just for making that a reality, Ayla. When I first found out I was pregnant, I was like, oh, I want to take them to New Life Kids, and then it shut down. So I'm just super excited that we have that opportunity. So thank you. So we're just going to quickly transition. We have Spring Hill coming up in 2 weeks. And so we're super excited. Less than 2 weeks, 12 days. And it's like Christmas for a lot of kids. So we're super excited. We're so grateful to the elder minister team for allowing us to go. And like I said, during our huddle in December, at that time we were doing the bake sale. So I just wanted to quickly give everybody an update. You guys have gotten an update with the church, but we raised a total of, between the bake sale, bottle can drive, additional donors, we raised $1,385.40. So that was super awesome. And that goes towards scholarships. $790 went to scholarships, and then the remainder then goes towards the charter bus. So we have a charter bus that we're taking up. We have 50 people that we're taking. So our ask is that we just continue to pray for everybody's hearts as we lead up to the trip. Of the 50, there's 13 chaperones, and then there's 37 kids. So we're just super, super, super excited. And of the 37, what I wanted to share is 16 of those kids, 16 out of 37, are friends. They don't even go to New Life. So it's just really exciting that like almost half are people that aren't even with us. So we're encouraged, we're excited. We have all the provisions in place. We're asking everybody to do a negative COVID test before coming. We are gonna be wearing masks. We have air purifiers we're gonna be bringing for the housing units. And we're just super excited that we're able to go. So just if you guys can just keep praying for us and praying for health and safety, and so I don't know if there's any other questions, or Joel, if I needed to cover anything else.
No, that's it. I was actually just going to ask if someone would be willing to pray for that team.
Yeah,
right now, I think it'd be a good move.
I can do that.
Thanks, Kristen.
Lord, I just thank you so much for this ministry. Spring Hill is yeah, like Chelsea said, it is a huge deal. My daughter's been wanting to go for years, and now it's her turn, and we're just super excited. So thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for the work that Chelsea's doing behind the scenes, and Ayla and the chaperones, just the different people that pour into this ministry. So thank you for them, and lift them up, Lord. And Lord, please protect them. Protect them from COVID, protect them from whatever else is going around, all the sickness, Lord, I just ask, and we thank you that we still have the opportunity to go, which was definitely in question. And I thank you that it's happening. And now I ask for your protection over it as well. And then I pray that you just reach these kids, Lord, help the chaperones pour into them, help the actual ministry of Spring Hill, just reach these kids and then have it be just a really awesome, glorifying time to you. So we ask for your protection and we ask for just your outpouring of love and connection with these kids, Lord. So thank you. And we just can't wait to hear how it goes and how you work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Kristen. Yeah. Any questions for Chelsea in the Spring Hill space, youth space? Okay, great. Again, if you got them.
Oh, I was late. Can I ask a question? Does New Life ever do like pray for the kids' wristbands as they're at camp? That was a lot of words. I've been to churches before that will put out wristbands at the front of the church at the end of a service. You can claim a wristband and it has the name of a kid or a chaperone that's going on the trip, and then you wear it for the time that they're gone as like an idea to pray for them while they're there.
That's brilliant. Yeah, that's a great idea.
I will see if I can. So then we could pick them up from the service on the 23rd, maybe, and then.
I already got her thinking.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So
answer your question. No, we haven't. But that's like, when I heard you say, "Do we ever pray for the kids?" I was like, "Yes, we do that." And then this is like a whole different level.
Word. That's, okay. Thanks.
That's awesome.
It's good. It's great idea.
Love it.
Sweet. All right. Hey, I invited. Well, Shepherd's always invited to join us, but this week in particular, I invited him to join us. He and I were dialoguing on prayer. I don't know, a couple months now, and. The things that we were discussing, I thought it'd be good for this whole team to be in on that conversation a bit. So just want to invite Shepherd to present a bit on that topic. Shepherd, I don't know where you're going to take it, but it is your floor to take.
Great. Thank you. I will share some things and Judah will chip in as he sees fit. I'll keep it pretty short. I think mostly, a bit of last semester and coming into this year, I felt a personal conviction to be more faithful in prayer. And I think over the pandemic, there was a lot of opportunity to grow in like remote prayer and just continuing to practice that even though we were isolated. And I think as things have started back up again, I've just missed praying with people in person and missed the way that helps me to be more faithful and even like stirs me up to be more bold in my prayers. I don't know if you guys can relate, but I feel like there's things I've been praying for a long time. And when it's just me praying for it, it's easy to just get discouraged if it's dragging on or even get more timid in what I'm asking for. So I feel like the conviction, but I feel like what I've wanted to see more in prayer in my life and also at our church is that like on the individual level, we would experience more intimacy with God and also more boldness in what we're asking for. And that from God that we would get to see more of his power and experience more of his presence. So I feel like I'm still exploring that. But at the very least, I've just started praying, at least just wanting to have a space every week where people can pray together. And so at least for the near future, me, Amy Grace, and Judah will be praying in the carriage house after church on Sundays at 11:30. And I've invited a couple people to that, but just wanted to open that invitation up to everyone or anybody in your home group. And I would say it's just a space if people are feeling like they're wanting to be more faithful in prayer or wanting to grow in passion for prayer, that's what I'm hoping that time will be. It's pretty open-ended. We spend some time listening to God and seeing if there's anything he wants us to pray about. And then after that, we sort of all rally around whatever people are hearing and we spend time praying for that. So it's been really good the last couple times we've done it. And it's hard for me to do it right now because time is so limited, but I feel like it's important. And Amy Grace and I are making it work to be there at that time. Hey, Jude. This is a... This is my view right now.
Morning, handsome. Woo! He looks eager and ready to participate.
Oh yeah, he is. He's very eager. So yeah, that's most of what I wanted to say. If there's anyone in your home group, or if you feel that way of wanting to pray more this year, I wanted to give the details for that so people could come if they want. Yeah, more just something I'm feeling like I'm wanting to do, and wanting to invite others into that if that's something that God is doing other places in our church too.
Shepherd, two questions for you.
Yep.
How do people find you in the Carriage House if they haven't been there before? And then do they need to RSVP, or can they just come?
You don't need to RSVP. It's very informal. I don't know. Carriage House is kind of confusing. I think it's Carriage House 1.
Explain what Carriage House is, where it is, and any details for it, because there's people that probably have no idea.
Yeah, that's what my brain soup is.
I can give you some help if you want.
Yeah.
The setup question. So Carriage House is the our reference to set of rooms in the old historic building next to the church, 1547. So, typically those doors are locked or key coded, but we try to, for the prayer time, I think we leave that one open next to the kitchen. Chet, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're looking for the door that's closest to the garage, and then you can just go in there. And generally speaking, you want to just keep taking lefts, and any hallway that's not any left that's not a bathroom, and you're good to go. You'll eventually get there. So, or just, it's not a lot of space. You just kind of cry out and say, help, I need to find you. So that's over there. What else?
Yeah. People can also just email me or text me if they want more information about it and or more directions. But yeah, it's not a very easy place to find right now.
But it's very comfy. It's a nice spot for praying.
So maybe a sign or two could be useful. If you're on the outside of the building and you're looking at the whole house next door, look at the garage and the rooms above the garage. That's where, once you're in the building, that's where you want to try to get, is above the garage. So
thanks, Shepard. Appreciate it, man. Okay, Jay, you're up, my friend.
Yeah. Excited to be here. It is 2022, which every time I say that, in some ways, I feel like I'm in some sci-fi movie. It just seems like a crazy number to kick out.
A little too even to be real.
Yeah. Thanks for being here, everyone. Super excited about this semester, what God's been doing, especially just seeing the number of people serving in New Life Kids, getting that going, seeing all the students going to Spring Hill and inviting friends that are wanting to go. And then with Shepherd in this prayer, and I've heard a number of pieces with prayer. Whenever I've been around a community of faith where these things start happening, especially the prayer side of things, it's not far behind that God starts doing some crazy stuff in exciting ways, revealing his presence, his power, seeing people come to Christ. So I'm excited about that. It kind of lines up with some of the things I felt like the Lord's been saying, that he took me back to the passage in the fall about the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. And it was kind of a call to us as a church. What does it look like for us to try to have us go out in the fields, to actually be mobile, to be on mission? I was listening to a friend sent a talk of Francis Chan, and that was the thing that stuck out with it too. Is Francis Chan was a pastor of a pretty big church out in California, and he transitioned and moved on to some other things. But one of his struggles in the final years when he was there is he had 5,000 people coming on Sundays, and he was like, I don't know how to mobilize them. I don't know how to actually help them live out the gospel and like live on mission and reach out to those around them. And so for us as a church where we wanted to be involved in worship, community, mission, have those lifestyles, it is about us worshiping the Lord, staying connected there. I love Shepherd's prayer of intimacy and boldness for us. And then community, that we would continue to live in community, connected, stepping out into places, whether that's the coming to a home group or a D group setting that's a little bit smaller, or coming back in person on Sundays, getting involved in community a little bit more. And then, but the point of all that is that it's for the world. It's to live out towards others in mission. And so a couple of things, we just went past Christmas Eve, and I know that we kind of trimmed down a little bit over Christmas Eve here. A lot of the students go home, so it's a bit different. I've been in talk with a few pastors recently, and was just challenged and encouraged and inspired that God is on the move. People are moving towards community, living in ways like that, and inviting. A church that had gotten pretty shut down in the pandemic did a Christmas Eve service, and they're a big church, but they saw like 30% of what their previous numbers were. But I was like, well, I have no idea what these numbers are. It was close to 20,000 came, and a lot of that was in person. I was like, wow, okay, so people are coming back. I know of a couple churches that are planting this year, which if you think about when a church plants, you don't do that like just virtually. You don't go to a new location and be on screen. Like, you're going and you're reaching out and you're trying to pull people in. And I just talked to another pastor who he's in transition right now and praying through that and saying he thinks God's calling him to plant a church this year out in the on the East Coast. And that just involves, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, to take action, to be engaged. You can't start a church or grow ministry or invite. It's all about inviting. It's about invitation and people joining a community to hear about what God's doing. So I've just been challenged and inspired some of that. I know that in Ann Arbor, in this area, there are a lot of different convictions about pandemic and how we should navigate it, and safeties and precautions and fears, and a lot of different views. And I love the series that we're in. If you missed last week, go back and listen to it. Kyle kicked off the series. It is about, you know, why that it's important that we're all here, that we're all involved in the church, that every single person makes up the church, and that it matters that you're here. And so kind of walking through some of that. And one of the challenges Kyle gave even last week was, wherever we are we willing to wrestle with what does that look like? The command to be in community and to challenge ourselves into those spaces. And so I was excited this last week as a city staff. We looked at our church in the city in particular, and we have 8 home groups right now. A 9th one is trying to get launched. A lot of those have D groups. In addition to that, we have 5 extra D groups that are just standalone, not a connected to a home group. And within that, there's 186 individuals, adults rostered or on those lists of groups. And seeing about 110 or somewhere right around there attending each week. So that doesn't mean it's always the same people. People rotate in that. We have 40 leaders involved in this huddle, which is just amazing. And actually, even the campus, when we were sharing some of this, and the campus staff heard, wait, 40 leaders for 8 groups and 5 D groups? They're like, tell us more. Like, how does this work? They were kind of blown away at the amount of leaders. So thank you all leaders in person here listening to this. We're so grateful for you. You're creating community. And just excited about the potential we have. As we were going through the end of last year over the holidays, I was praying and trying to say, Joel got some time away, Sarah Marie got some time away, I got time away, Ayla chimed in. Like, we all just sought the Lord, and we were praying and putting our thoughts together. And out of all that, we had some clarity of where do we feel like the Lord's taking us? What is he wanting us to do? And this is the verse that God hit me with over the break. And it was 1 Timothy 2. It says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. And so the few things that felt like the Lord was encouraging us as staff to do is to, one, be in prayer over all our people. So that's something that we've done. We're putting together a whole prayer list that we can be in prayer over all the people that are in the city, whether you're in a home group or you're serving or you're giving in some capacity. We want to be praying. We feel like the Lord's inviting us to be more prayerful over all of you. What I love in there too, is it talks about pray for kings and all who are in authority. We have a lot of leaders in the city, people that are either entrepreneurial leading their business or high level leadership in businesses and companies, corporations. And so just to be praying over all of you who are navigating lots of decisions and trying to do it in a God-like, Christ-honoring way, to be in prayer for all of you. The other thing is that it says, want everyone to be saved to understand the truth. So this is kind of like the outflow too. Like, we know the truth, and that at just the right time, God gave the message God gave to the world at just the right time through Jesus Christ. So we have that. And so we're going to be praying over everyone in a little more strategic fashion this semester. The other thing is we're going to be trying to engage everyone. Just find out. I was talking with my mom yesterday, and she's like, what are you trying to do this semester? I said, well, it kind of feels like this, that, you know, we're shepherds and there's a flock, and the flock is all on one side of a creek, and they're all kind of scattered. They're all there. But they're a little spread out, and we're trying to like engage everyone and say, hey, we feel like the Lord's asking us to cross the creek. What does it look like to cross the creek and have these conversations and see? And I was talking to a pastor the other day, and he's a much bigger church. And he said, it's pretty much the same in all churches right now, that a third of people are very active, highly engaged. Like, the moment we say we want to do this, or here's an opportunity to serve, like they're up and they're in, they want to go. There's a third that's just kind of in the middle. That's like wrestling, taking little steps, trying to trust the Lord and move in and lean into trusting him and whatever God's calling him to. And then there's a third that's for a lot of different reasons are just maybe a little less engaged in it all. And so we feel like we really want to engage all of our people, find out where they are, encourage them to continue worshiping the Lord, continue in community, whatever that looks like for you, and continue really in mission. And so the way that plays out is when we have these conversations, we're going to be engaging all our folks. One, in prayer or in worship, we're going to encourage people to engage with the discipleship pathway. So that's something that we've been hitting all year long, something that we see as a priority. We'd love everyone to be engaged in the pathway in some shape or form. So I would say all of you, if you haven't engaged, we encourage you to. There's lots of information Joel and Sam Marie can put you in touch with on that. And consider the 90-day challenge. One of the things I love is that we kicked off the 90-day challenge in the fall, and it wasn't like just a seasonal thing. It's like ongoing. If you haven't done it, it's a 90-day challenge. It's 90 days to get you kind of in a habit of utilizing and engaging with the pathway. The awesome thing is the youth led the way in the city last semester. So we had a number of groups in the campus and the city use it, but all of the youth group went through the 90-day challenge with the discipleship pathway. And even the EMT was engaged in helping do weekly or bi-weekly teaching with them directly. And so that was pretty awesome just to see. So we encourage you to get with your worship, is stay connected with the Lord. We feel like the pathway is a great way to do that in a practical way. In terms of community, we'd love for you to lean into home groups and Sundays. And so I think this is a season where if you have people in your home group who really haven't taken a step back to community, you haven't seen them in months, maybe even like the beginning of the pandemic, or even some people that are kind of fringy here and there, just reach out, have a conversation, see how they're doing, see where they're at, see if there's anything you guys could do as a group to help them move back. They may not be ready to jump back into a full Sunday crowd, but can we move them towards community in smaller ways? And maybe they're not ready for that, but they would be willing to get coffee or just do a meal with you. So think through that. And then also talking to home groups and seeing if people are ready or willing to take steps back towards Sunday. Of course, we also have serving opportunities throughout the months and semester with Justice. So that's another way to jump in and serve, which I continue to hear people who go to the Christian Love Fellowship, where we pass out food and different things, distributions once per month. Anyone who goes walks away ministered to them. Like, you're going to serve, but you end up getting ministered to. It's been really powerful. So if you haven't jumped into that, encourage it. And the last one is mission. And this is where we just go back to the Live Sent tool, which we've already talked in here a number of times. But man, I can't encourage you enough to grab a Live Sent tool, or in some shape or fashion on your own, write down the people that you feel like the Lord is wanting you to be regularly praying for, whether it's people to get to know, to serve, or to share about the gospel in some shape or fashion. And I did that. There's just the practice of sitting down with that tool and asking, Lord, who do you want me to be praying for? It's really powerful. Almost my entire list are neighbors in my neighborhood. And then, interestingly enough, two of them are cousins of mine that I actually don't talk to much at all. And I was like, oh my word, this will be interesting to reach out to these cousins that I haven't seen in years. But feel like God wants to do something. He's pursuing them. He's already going ahead of us. So even on my neighbors, I drive down my street, and I tell you, like, it's a lot easier to drive down your street and not be thinking about them in terms of mission. Now, every time I turn on or off my street, I'm thinking, oh, these people, I got to get to know them. Oh, God wants me to like try to find a way to serve this person. So it can be challenging, but it's that if you look at it like this is God, he put these names on my heart. I'm joining him right in my neighborhood. Getting to see him show up in those spaces and ways is going to be really cool. So I encourage you, Live Sent Tool, lean into it. And then the last thing is when we talk about mission, all of this leads towards Easter is coming, and we don't know exactly how we're going to, what we're going to do with Easter exactly, but I'll say Easter is coming. We're celebrating it. And it is the reason that we celebrate and we gather as a people, regardless of our opinions, our politics, our convictions on pandemic, our views on sports, you name it. We could be as diverse as can be, but the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, ascended to heaven and made a way, that is why we gather. And we're going to celebrate that at Easter. And the one thing I would want to put in your head right now is maybe with the Live Sent Tool, and maybe in this time where the world's kind of dark and people have said, when it gets dark, you know, light stands out even brighter. And we have the light, we have the hope. And who could you invite to Easter Sunday or Good Friday or engaging in that season? That's something that I'm beginning to pray through and challenge and encourage you to pray through and consider. So, that's essentially where we're at. We're going to be engaging all of the city, each individual or couple we're going to try to reach out to and just encourage them with worship, community, mission, find out how they're doing with their worship and all this, encourage them to take steps like that, and wanted you all to know, and just to start with all of you that we'd love for you to do the pathway, keep gathering in your groups, come on Sundays, serve where you can, and be in prayer over the Live Sent Tool and consider who you might invite to Easter this year, even if it's getting someone to watch online, it can be powerful. So that's all I got, Joel.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. I just have one last announcement unrelated to all those things. Generally speaking, we have a spiritual gifts class that's coming up, and Gia wanted me to pass this announcement on to this team, and I'm going to throw it in the chat to you so you guys have it, essentially, because there's a link as well for sign up. But basically, three upcoming Sundays in February, the 6th, the 13th, and the 20th, we have a spiritual gifts class that's happening at the church from 1 to 2:30 p.m. And so you can sign up, you can engage it. It's the first of its kind for us. That's probably not entirely true. The first of its kind in recent decades. Haven't done this in a while, and we're pretty excited about it. The elder minister team has been working pretty hard behind the scenes for a long time here. Jay in particular has been really helping to drive forward the conversations and getting our diverse theological perspectives and backgrounds together for a unified set of definitions for spiritual gifts. A lot of that's helped us to figure out how we're going to move forward and how we can teach and help people move into those spaces. Particularly important to understand what God has invested in us that he wants to see unleashed for his kingdom, his church. So love to have you consider doing that. Our thought on it from a home group standpoint is if you're doing something in your home group, just take a 3-week pause and whatever the thing is, if it fits, and then engage that class and then jump back into the thing, the content, whatever you've got going on. So you don't have to do, that's an opportunity you can, but if you do want to do it, there is a sign up. I don't know if the link, oh, I didn't press the enter button. Forgive me. Enter. That'll help. I don't know if the link came through. I might have to find that a second here. But it's also in the announcements and the bulletin. Pretty much every
you keep talking.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. So thanks everybody for joining this morning. Appreciate it. Any final questions before we part company? I'll pray for us and then we'll go and worship. Okay.
I'm like
3 seconds.
No, it's my fault. I have my iPad like sitting too far from me, so I can't reach it. For the gifts class, that I just want to confirm that was like in person only. There wasn't a remote portion of that, or do we know?
It is designed to be in person. I don't think that there is presently a remote option. I do know that a number of people have asked us if we can record it, and we are planning to record it, even though it's not necessarily designed like a live stream thing. We'll record the audio so you can actually hear what's going on later on if you want to jump in on it. Jay, do you know any more about that?
Everything you said is true. My question is, Warren, do you believe it would be helpful if we did a virtual pathway in it?
Maybe. I guess it would also depend a little bit on the however the class was structured, right? Sorry, I'm wrestling with the dog right now too. But it kind of depend on how the class was structured or you know, what the format of the class is too. So I was just curious. In our home group, we were talking about actually our next series of studies, doing something focused on gifting and spiritual gifts and everything. So I was just curious. We were talking about it in our home group. I just didn't remember where that landed.
I think it could, I'll take it this week and we'll talk about it and see if we might add the virtual option. I don't think it would be hard to put a camera in there and have, you know, we have screen, so we could see whoever's virtual. I don't know how much we would be able to engage with the virtual team. We could figure it out. We probably have to have someone on that, but the content will be a lot of sharing and then just conversation. So like we're going to walk through, there'll be some talking, some teaching side of it, and then engagement so that people can, because that's usually, there's just a lot of questions around all this stuff. And so that can be usually the most helpful thing is to try to field questions and engage. And that's going to be the first couple of weeks. And the last one is tries to be, we'll pivot more towards like the practical application side of it all, which that's where a lot more questions can come out and encouragement, point people in a direction of where they can keep growing and learn. So.
Yeah, no, Jay, I appreciate that.
I had a question too, because you know, Warren and I are in the same group. We were talking about that, and would we be able to, like, we had kind of thought about maybe listening to the content during like our regular group time and then having discussion on it. Do you think the setup would function okay in that way? Like if we didn't do like not a virtual, because we have, you know, kids, and
yes,
even
yes,
like a virtual might be challenging.
Yeah,
at times.
I think that would work fine. I think it's one of those things where group by group, it could be in those situations helpful to have someone from the EMT in those spaces. Clearly you do, Emily, you're very small. But I think just in case questions came up where it was like, what does that even mean? So for any group that went that route, we could definitely work with it. It'd probably just be reaching out if there were questions that couldn't be answered by the group or other thoughts. That's where in a conversation. But I think that could be, I would encourage. I would say this is one of the areas that I am probably most excited about in terms of like leaning into and seeing people grow in. I mean, there's your own gifting and skill sets that you have as a person. Everyone has unique gifts and abilities in this world, whether you're Christian or not. Everyone can pick up skills from training. A lot of us have gone to college and picked up different skills. And then there's spiritual gifting is like within the kingdom of God. And I think it's pretty awesome to see how God wants to bless his kids and to see people lean into that, have conversations around it. I would be more inclined to seeing people do that rather than say the time doesn't work and they can't figure it out. So, yep.
Good question.
Hey, this is Kristen. I'm no video because we're driving to church, but could you guys repeat that? How would it work from a home group perspective if you can't have the whole group grow? I missed part of the brainstorming on that, but I'm interested in it. So how would that work?
Emily, what was your thought on how you were thinking of doing it?
We were thinking of, since the content was going to be recorded, like listening to some of the content during our group time, like not necessarily listening to the discussion so much, but if there was content in the beginning, and then having a group discussion about it during our time and using that for a couple weeks, and just being like, our next study is spiritual gifts based on this content. Yeah, that was our kind of thought, obviously, since we didn't know what the content was. A little bit wondering if that would be a functional option for us, but we were hoping to like kind of be engaged in the same thing as the churches. It just is that a little bit challenging to get like some of our families to that time slot without having to find like a sitter or something like that.
Yeah. So I would say that's completely good. In my opinion, I would say lean into it, go for it. And if the group discussion in your home group kind of comes to a puzzling question or a crux, or, you know, there's thoughts, then you can always reach out and EMT can jump in or have a conversation. We're also willing to even, you know, if a group was like, oh, this was really good, but we have these two questions and we would love for someone from the EMT to come join us, we're up for that too. So I was saying Emily is married to a pastor, so she already has that covered.
Right. Got that. All right. Good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kristen. I'm waiting an extra 3 seconds here, just in case. Just past my gut instinct moment.
Hey, guys. I'm actually in the same group with Warren and Emily. So just wanted to, I don't know if you know this yet, but in the Sunday session, you mentioned there'll be some content and then like some discussion. I wondered if you thought like in a home group, if that would be best to set up like in a 2 week stretch, or if there's like homework or like work that people will do in between the class, or if each class on a Sunday will kind of like stand alone. I don't know if that question makes sense, but yeah, I didn't know if it's like they'll meet on a Sunday, there are things people will do and talk about and then follow up with that the next Sunday. Or maybe in a home group setting, that could be like a 2 week discussion as opposed to like we're mirroring on our Thursday night what you guys do on Sunday. I don't know if you have a sense of that yet.
I'm trying to track with you. Well, as far as homework between and stuff, they're probably isn't going to be homework per se. We'll probably continue. There'll be resources that we share. There'll be a lot of verses and different things. So if someone chooses to go read ahead of time, like for the next week, I think that's a thing. Was your main question around that, or is how, what's the Sunday,
like,
Thursday?
Seems like content flow. My sense of it, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Jay, is the first 2 weeks is largely going to be discussing the whole flow of material for spiritual gifts. Like, all right, here's what they are. Here's all of them. Let's talk them all through.
Yes.
How God gives them, how all that stuff. And then the third week is going to be more in the space of, how do we practically use these on the church, know how we're gifted and go and use them. Does that seem accurate, Jay? So in terms of then the group time, I think we need 2 weeks just to cover all that front material, because there's so much. It's taken us over a year just to get our definitions aligned on the elder and minister teams a lot.
Yeah, I think it's an hour and a half each week. That's right. Yeah, that's right. It would be fantastic if we got the teaching side of it done in 45 minutes. And then we had like the other half for discussion around everything that we just talked about. So that's kind of how we see it going, Melissa. And yes, you are in the same group. So that's two pastors in a group. And a whole
we have some heavy,
gifted, godly leaders. And
we have some heavy hitters in our group.
Yeah. So
that group is stacked.
You're stacked. So Melissa, did we answer what you were asking?
Yeah. So I think that 45 minute thing was helpful, because I was trying to think, like, if our small group is an hour and a half, the same as the class, you know, does it make, would it just be like a mirror of it? Or, you know, if it's, like you said, a lot of discussion time, then we may have to expand that. So I was wondering just how that hour and a half class, the time might be broken up, and
yeah,
so we can kind of plan what that would look like on our end.
Yeah, I think it could work well. You could listen, you could take even the resources that we kind of share, do that on your own, and then have a good discussion as a group when you come together. So, and honestly, those can be even more fun, because sometimes when you're in a class discussion, you know, not everyone wants to share. Home group, you're a little more comfortable. You're willing to really, you know, pull the punches and ask the tough questions or share your own experiences. I think that could be really powerful. So, because this is the other thing, even if a church doesn't talk about the spiritual gifts a lot, we are leaning into, but my experience across the board is that there are churches, even when they don't talk about it, there's the Holy Spirit is still active. He is showing up in churches, in his people, in all kinds of way. And when you open up conversations like this, it's not like, oh my word, this is new. It's usually me too. And they have all these stories and cool experiences, and you see all the ways that God's already been at work in your midst. And then you find ways to, what does that look like going forward? So yeah, home group could be a great setting.
Thanks, everybody. Any final questions?
Joel, you mentioned real quick. Oh, I just had a very random,
I was waiting for you to hit the button. I'm so glad I'm near engaged. It's good.
This is more not a question. This is not serious, but like, you mentioned like over, you know, in the recent decades or whatever, Andrea recently, she just sent me a text yesterday that said, Will Wheaton now is older than when Patrick Stewart was when he started The Next Generation. Just, I don't know if there's any nerds in the crowd here, but like,
that's life changing, man.
I was like, oh, that's depressing. Oh,
we have this tendency, I think, to, you know, if it's the first time that we know of something, be like, this is the first time we've done this, but the church is, I mean, it started in 1984. We've done a lot of stuff over the course of that time, a lot of different people. So I know in my era, there's been a lot of engagement with spiritual gifts at various points and in different ways. But there is a sense of cohesiveness here in this last era that we, I think, didn't necessarily have in the previous eras that I can remember. My history goes back just a little shy of 30 years. And so what's unique now with our elder and minister team is that we're trying to figure out and get on the exact same page with these things before we like launch into how we're teaching them. Before, I think it would have been like, hey, whatever pastor is going to take it, they're just going to roll with it. But now there's just a really strong cohesiveness. And so we're thinking men's and women's roles in the church, things like that. We've really chewed on them for a long time. Jay, I mean, we've had spreadsheet after spreadsheet after spreadsheet, four different authors. We're looking at this, you know, this definition, administration here, here, and here, you know, where we're going to land in this thing. And so there's just a cohesion, I think, that we have in the space now that we haven't necessarily attempted in the past in the same way. So it's cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, Joel, from a, I guess, a layperson standpoint, I do think that over the years, my involvement with New Life has been almost 20 years, but that's a lie, over 20 years. the cohesiveness and I think the intentionality of the EMT has been, you know, it definitely comes through a lot more, I think, in recent times than in the past. So I think, you know, we definitely appreciated and noticed that.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. Okay, I'd love to pray to close us here. Any other final thoughts, questions you guys have?
I'll say one for all of you here or listening to this. When I said a lot that I talk to the pastors and people are planting and all the stuff about Eastern. And I also hear about their community, and I feel spoiled here. You all are awesome. Such a gift. When I hear about other things and challenges, and I don't even really want to like share some of the things that we have, like all of our leaders are connected in huddle and leading all these groups in all these different ways. I'm like, because they're just kind of, their minds boggle at what we have. And so I am grateful and thankful for all of you leading and serving in this church. You're awesome.
Me too. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We are grateful for you, grateful for your provision. You give us the ability to know you, to be known by you, to exist in your presence, to grow and become more like you. Those are just tremendous gifts. And you also give us one another. You give us the opportunity to be in community. We can sharpen one another. We can encourage one another. We can rebuke one another. We can bless one another. We can we can challenge one another in our imperfections and become more like you too in that space. And you've given us a world that needs you. Those are all gifts, and they're gifts that we want to steward. We want to steward well, not like the Christmas gift that someone gave us and we just not excited to get it. Didn't even think it was going to come. That pair of socks I'm probably never going to wear. Lord, these are ones we want to steward. And I just pray that you would do that. You would do that work. You would bless your church and unleash all those things in greater number, greater quantity, greater power. We would see your hand at work. Thank you for each soul here and the ways that they're laboring and the ways that they're serving, the ways that they're loving. ways that they're taking risks for you and for your sake. And I pray even too for just conviction. If we heard something today that reminds us of something that we had promised to do, or reminds us of some sort of sin that we need to lay at your feet, or a person that we need to reach out to, whatever that is, I pray that we take that step of obedience. We are grateful, God, that you are a God who is patient with us. And are in our less than Christ-likeness currently, you loved us even before we're made clean, before you made that path possible, and you made it possible. And we have a gift of relationship with you because you're willing to give up everything for us. Pray for this morning, whether we're worshiping you from our living rooms, car, walk outside, the auditorium. I pray that we would lift you up this morning. In holy name, we pray. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it. And you have a fantastic Sunday.